Next on News for the Soul, Living Naturally with Michaela. Michaela Jones is an integrative holistic health specialist who blends traditional naturopathy, homeopathy, nutrition, emotional release, and energetic work for health and wellness of the body, mind, and soul. Michaela is a doctor of naturopathy and a board-certified holistic health practitioner with over 25 years of experience. As a naturopath, medical intuitive, and energy healer, she helps her clients connect the dots between the physical, emotional, and energetic root causes of health issues. Please welcome Michaela back to News for the Soul.
Everyone for listening in. Welcome to a new show on Living Naturally with Michaela. I'm Michaela Jones, MD, naturopath, energy healer, and integrated holistic health specialist with Living Naturally for Life. Today we'll be talking about the mind-body connection and how perception can affect our quality of life. As a multimodality practitioner myself, I often try to educate my clients on the fact that true health is healthy body, mind, and soul. And there is often a connection between emotions and mindset and physical health issues. And in order to truly heal, we have to look at all the facets of the whole person, hence holistic healing. My guest today is Sophia Vassiliou. I met Sophia a couple of years ago in a group healers program, and she is so fascinating. Like me, she uses different modalities to help people all over the world. Today, she is going to give us some further insight into the connection between emotions, perceptions, and physiology. But before I bring her on, let me tell you a little about her. So, Sophia is a specialist in subconscious release, epigenetic reprogramming, and shamanistic practices. Sophia's life mission has been to serve. She is passionate about supporting people who are on the spiritual path, free themselves from old emotional baggage and blockages so that they can continue to move forward and live the life that they choose with an open heart. With over 15 years' experience working in various healing modalities and nearly 3 years in the Amazon studying the Shipibo plant medicines, Sophia has a wide range of tools to offer our clients in transformation and their transformations. She has one-to-one clients in over 32 countries and also offers online group workshops and courses which involve a mixture of teaching, personal exploration, and energy clearing. So welcome, Sophia.
Hi, Michaela. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's nice to hear your voice again.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I'm so excited to have you on. You know, like I said, you know, I find you really fascinating, you know, ever since we met way back when, you know, so, you know, I love, you know, like me, that you're also use multiple modalities, you know, to help people and kind of meet them where they are. I always say, you know, I'm not married to one thing or another. I use what is necessary at the time to help clients. So I love meeting other practitioners that, you know, that use different tools, because not everyone is going to respond to everything the same way. So sometimes you kind of have to change it up a little bit. So let's just jump right in. So what do you mean when we talk about the mind-body connection?
So actually, in your own introduction about you, you kind of covered that in a really good way. I just realizing that your thoughts affect your physiology. That's the simplest way I can put it. And a really easy demonstration of that is if people in the audience right now just want to think of something that they like or love, and then just see if you happen to smile, and then if you smile, how that makes you feel. Like, it's really easy. That's why sort of power poses and, you know, practicing posturing in front of the mirror, like, as much as it can seem silly at first, when you get over the silly hurdle, actually, if you stand up straight, you suddenly feel stronger and more capable. And so there's a way of switching the physiology by changing your mental state and vice versa, and it happens on a very deep level in terms of what's going on in your cells and your DNA level and many other things.
Oh, wow. You know, that is an awesome, awesome way of explaining that. I may have to use that someday myself. You know, I hadn't really thought about it, but yeah, you know, it's like if you think of something and your posture changes, or like you said, or you smile or you don't smile, and that is a very easy way to see that connection between the emotions and the mindset and the physiology. That is an awesome, awesome example. So thank you for sharing that with us. So how many of you out in the audience did that when she said it? I hope you did, because that will help you understand just a little bit more about how everything is all interrelated and interconnected. So, okay, well, let's just kind of keep going on. So why do you think that the mind-body connection is so important when it comes to healing or long-term transformation?
Well, going back to that original practice of realizing that just thinking of something nice can make you smile, that's essentially flipping a switch in your body. And so if you think about what you do in terms of habits, whether you're used to worrying a lot or allowing stress to kind of take you over a lot, or if you're someone who's really optimistic, those habits create long-term effects in your physiology. And so when we start to really think about what those effects are, whether it's, you know, being depressed or, like I said, worrying or optimistic, those create certain states which are long-term, and they have a massive effect on different systems in the body, such as the immune system. So in order to fight infection, we need to be in a state where we feel safe, because if we feel like we're under threat, our system shuts down the bit of us that kind of wants to fight infection, because that becomes a back burner issue. And instead we choose to kind of run, fight, flight, or freeze, you know, get away from the danger or avoid it in some way. And so immune system and digestion get pushed to one side. And so if we're constantly in a state that affects those things, we can't take on nutrition, we can't do growth and repair, we can't actually do the things that we need to do to maintain health. And so, you know, there's so many factors that are really simple to change in a basic way of monitoring how we think and feel during the day to allow systems to actually recover from stress and get back into a place of reset, rebalance, growth, and repair. Does that answer the question enough?
Yes, that absolutely answers the question. And, you use a lot of the same type of terminology and examples that I use when I'm trying to help my clients understand too how these things are affecting them, particularly the fight, flight, fawn, you know, response, and how it affects the digestion. Because, you know, one of the things a lot of people don't realize is that when we're in fight or flight, our body prioritizes, you know, what that need for, okay, I may have to flee at any moment now. So the last thing it's thinking about is whether it needs to digest food. So, you know, so that kind of gets put on the back burner. Now, way back when we literally had to, you know, fend for ourselves and possibly fight off big animals and stuff, that was, you know, kind of a needed thing. But now in modern society, our fight or flight comes from the stress around us. You know, we're no longer, you know, having to fight off, you know, the animals and stuff. Well, some people might, but we're no longer having to fight off the animals and stuff. But our bodies don't know that. So, yeah, so that stress and everything, you know, and how it affects the other system, and then it's kind of a domino. So, yes, I love how you put that. You know, that helps put a lot of things in perspective. You know, I understand it, but, you know, this is, you know, I try to educate other people. So, I love how you put that. So I'm all about educating, entertaining, and informing.
Absolutely. Jumping up to that point of modern stress, where before we were fighting animals or, you know, in these really physically dangerous situations, the other thing that the fight, flight, or freeze response does is it cuts off the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is the part of you which is planning, consequence-driven, and, you know, the higher mental reasoning functions. And we go into what's called the amygdala response, which is basically instinctual, has just, you know, it just needs to get away from the situation, or, you know, it's emergency mode, basically. And often with the modern stresses, that's the absolute opposite of the kind of thought patterns we need to actually get through the stress. And so that's why it's really critical to understand what being in these states does, because we're actually then inhibiting our capacity to deal with the situations which the modern world stress brings on us, which is another reason why knowing this stuff and then how it affects not just our physical health, but our mental health and our long-term well-being and ability to function in the world becomes really important.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, so let's kind of keep going here. Now, I know the difference, but I'd like for you to explain it. So what is the difference between the conscious, subconscious, and superconscious mind, and what are their roles? You know, so bear with me, those of you listening, because we're leading into something here. So why don't you explain the difference between those two to the audience for us?
Okay, so the way I define them and the way I'm using them for these purposes, you know, there's many definitions that would be available, but really the conscious mind is the thoughts you're choosing to think. You know, it's the kind of thing that when you're feeling active and you're like, yeah, I would love to be doing X, Y, or Z, and you're in planning and, you know, we're having this conversation consciously, I'm listening to you and responding. So that's kind of the bit of you that, if you imagine this whole system as an iceberg, it's the top little bit of the mind that's sort of like the 1% of when we're actually thinking and talking. The subconscious mind is the bit under the surface. So it's the whole big part of the iceberg that's about 99% of the processing power. And so on a data taking in level, it can process like a few million times more bits of information than the conscious mind. You know, consciously we can remember about five to seven digits of a phone number if we're giving them at one point, whereas the subconscious remembers, you know, everything in the room and where it is and all the different color nuances and everything else. It's incredible in terms of its processing, but it also doesn't have the cognitive reasoning. And it creates an entire database of everything that's ever happened to you. So childhood experiences, reflexes in terms of how you dealt with situations, fear responses, joy responses, it's there. So the subconscious is, do you drive, Michaela?
Yes, I do.
So have you ever been on a car journey where you just kind of end up somewhere and not quite sure how you got there?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, you get into that automatic mode and you zone out and it's like, oh, wait, I didn't mean to really go there. I was supposed to be going somewhere else.
Right. So that's the subconscious driving the car. It knows what to do. If an emergency situation comes up, it flags it to the subconscious and you pay conscious attention. But most of the time, it's running the show. And that's really what happens in the subconscious. It's the default mode of how your system reacts to life. And like I said, it's about 99% of the processing power. And so unfortunately, the subconscious mind is running the show most of the time, and so it can feel like it's really pulling us in a different direction to where we want to go. The superconscious, the way I see it, is that higher self, that part of you that's kind of connected to your intuition. It's the bit of you that kind of has a bit more of an idea of the overall plan, and that kind of gives you guidance when you want it or when you ask for it. You might not listen to it, but it's that part that really has a bit bigger overall picture. And so the founder of Psyche, one of the modalities I use, has called it the greater personal self, or GPS, which I think is great.
That's great. That's great. All right. So now let's go ahead and we're going to get into perception a little bit. So how does perception change our physiology. Now, we did the little example thing at the beginning, but let's go a little bit deeper. So how does perception change physiology?
Okay, so a really good example of this is if you imagine yourself in an open field and there's two dogs running towards you, there's two people and a couple of dogs running towards you. One person in the field had a really bad experience with a dog. They were mauled when they were a child. And the other person, you know, has a load of pet dogs and absolutely loves them. As those two dogs are running towards those people, they're going to be having a completely different physiological response, mental response, and emotional response, even though the objective reality is exactly the same. The internal reality is completely different. One is in fear and one is in joy because there's these lovely dogs coming. So you can imagine one is getting there, like, you know, come on, getting really excited, their heart's going, they're opening, they're feeling wonderful. And the other person might be sweating, they might be getting ready to run, they might even be crying or just completely shutting down. So one event, two completely different responses based on the perception of what those dogs might do at the minute they're just coming towards the people.
Oh, awesome. That's very interesting. So basically, you know, how we perceive things can affect how we respond or react to things. Was that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And it's not just how, you know, and this is where the role of the subconscious is really important, because the subconscious of each person remembers, okay, dog's dangerous, I got mauled, pain, or, you know, all of these data points about dog, therefore fear and get ready to shut down and respond. So it perceives the dog as a threat, like it happened before, whereas the other person doesn't have that database record of dog being bad and therefore doesn't have any of that perception. It just sees a fluffy creature coming towards them, and so joy and a different set of data responses, and that's where the perception is different and why the response changes.
Okay, so in other words, to expand on this even a little bit more, our perception also be influenced by past trauma.
Yes.
Correct?
Our perception is absolutely influenced by the events that brought us to that place. So, and those can be past trauma, but they can also be cultural beliefs. They can be all sorts of things. You know, some people are afraid of walking under a ladder. You know, superstitions can affect your perception of whether an event is safe or not. So there's so many things that create perceptions, which is why sort of understanding, you know, on a conscious level, you might think and be able to think, oh, it's a dog, it's okay, this other person's okay, I must be okay. But the subconscious perception is still locked in that fear. And this is where the role of trauma becomes more key, because it's a body memory rather than a conscious thought. So you can try and override it, but it can be very difficult.
Right. So this goes back to the subconscious mind remembering and cataloging everything that's stored in the database. And so when we're presented with a situation that looks like a previous situation, it goes back in the catalog and it brings the stuff back up.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So that's kind of like the brain wiring and how, you know, it forms these neural pathways based on experience, so it can be more efficient the next time we're exposed to that. So it's kind of along that same kind of line. It's like it's going to go back and like, oh, this is what happened before, so this is what's going to happen now. So you kind of start to tense up and you're kind of getting ready for it because that's what happened before. And that's how it affects our physical body. Does that sound
Absolutely.
About right?
Yeah, that sounds perfect. And, you know, evolutionarily, it was really important for us to do that, especially when we were younger. We learn so much cultural information, behavioral patterns, and, you know, just how to function as a human being in society, especially between the ages of 0 and 7. And that's where most of the subconscious beliefs and programs get set. And then as we go on from that and have different experiences, it can sometimes be hard to get over it. So even though we've had like 10 okay experiences with dogs, if there was one really key one very early on, that might still override or over like be more powerful than the other experiences.
Yeah, understand. All right, so let's kind of move on a little bit then. So people are starting to understand a little bit more about perception and physiology, and we understand that perception can really hinder us and affect the way that we interact with others in situations and all of that kind of thing. So what tools can you offer to people to help shift their perception or their physiology, since they're so connected?
So I mentioned this at the beginning, one thing that can really help. So just want to kind of back up and expand on a couple of things first. So these perceptions aren't always just about physical things. You know, they can be self-perception. They can be, you know, tied to, you know, self-esteem, self-worth, self-love, abundance, the ideas around money being good, bad, or ugly, you know, anything, any way that we see the world. It is classed as a perception, and so they can affect, you know, many, many things. You know, one client of mine, you know, has some deep cultural beliefs around doing a certain activity, and so whenever they did that activity, they would become sick afterwards. Just sort of, you know, slightly flu-y type symptoms for 24 hours, and it just happened every single time. And so, you know, it's, certain beliefs and perceptions just shape and affect everything. So in terms of tools, already mentioned things like power poses, like changing your body posture consciously. So just as the mind affects the body can affect the mind. And that's quite a fun trick. So we've already done the thinking of something that makes you smile. Now, just smile and see where that leads your thoughts.
Interesting.
Yeah, I did it too, and it's really hard not to laugh once I smile. Because you just
right? Well, so basically there's something to the whole thing of, you know, if you're feeling bad, just smile, you know, because it'll change your perception and it'll change everything for you in that moment. So interesting.
Yeah. So that's one of the most simple tools there is to shift that is smile. It's a really, really great tool. And it's, you know, I'm not trying to say heavy emotions are bad and we should never have them. We should never be angry, because that's also a very big misconception. Often in sort of more spiritual circles is that, you know, pain and suffering should never happen and we should all be happy and in fairyland. You know, reality happens and it's real, but we can also, there is an element of choice in the way we respond, and that's where learning to change our perceptions or to choose a different emotion or feel something and then enact a response. So something else we can do that will really help moderate or modulate the nervous system is actually just taking a moment to put a hand on our heart or become aware of our heart and breathe slightly slower and deeper than normal. It's a really simple technique, and it just brings the system into what's called coherence. It's something that the Heart Math Institute teaches, and it's a coaching qualification that I'm in process of at the moment. But the very basic form of it is just breathing with a focus on the heart, just slightly slower and deeper than usual. And that will help reset the nervous system out of the sympathetic sort of overstressed response and try and bring it back into the other side where growth and repair and unstress is possible.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I hadn't necessarily used that one before, but yeah, I was doing it as you were saying it, and it's like, oh, I like that. So yeah, I love having like little simple tools like that that can be used almost anywhere, anytime, to just kind of reset some things. You know, some of the work that I do as well has to do with the vagus nerves and the polyvagal system. And so just being able to reset and kind of come out, you know, of that shutdown or that stress mode, you know, any type of little tools like that can really go a long way to help people kind of rebalance themselves. So thank you for sharing that. Do you have any other quick tools that you might be able to share with us as well?
Yeah, I mean, actually just trying to really integrate the understanding that you have way more choice about the way you think and feel than you might believe you have right now. So Dr. Joe Dispenza actually says, you know, if you're in an emotion for more than, I think he says 30 or maybe 90 seconds, then you're actually prolonging it. He said, you know, the cascade of chemicals that happen when you're feeling an emotion is a specific triggered response that then goes through the system and washes out. And then if that is persisting, it means you're feeding it with your thoughts and choosing to continue the cascade of emotions. So really, the more you become aware of that and the level of choice you have in the way you're thinking and feeling, the more you can pull yourself back and say, okay, do I actually want to feel miserable right now?
Right. Yeah, actually, I've been hearing about some recent research about that, about how the emotions start and are felt in the body. And I think it is about 90 seconds that it takes to travel. And so in that moment, you can make a choice about how you're going to allow yourself to feel. Because if it goes beyond that, you know, it's like, okay, that's on you now.
Yeah, exactly. Which can seem really harsh, but, you know, like, if you kind of embrace the idea that you have choice, then suddenly you become the master of your own mental, emotional, physical state, which is amazing. It also is a lot of responsibility, and so some people choose not to take that, but it's exciting as well.
Yeah, awesome. All right, so now let's move on a little bit more. And we're going down the rabbit hole here. So does any of this have anything to do with the law of attraction?
Well, I wanted to bring this up because there is a resonance with the ideas, but it's very much not about the law of attraction. And I really kind of wanted to make that point clear. So
okay,
in one of the modalities I practice, there is a type of subconscious energy that can be trapped in the system, and it's called a broadcast message. And basically, if you imagine it like a Facebook status or, you know, whatever platform you use, WhatsApp, that you can put a status that says, you know, like whatever it is. And that's usually either a declaration of what you're like or an instruction on how to treat you. So some of the negative past messages might be rescue me or punish me or I'm a bad person. And so these broadcast messages act like a frequency that you're sending out to the world on a subconscious level, and they have a resonance. And so other people will be able to pick up that energy subconsciously. You know, we're amazing readers of energy. Vibrations, you know, we're designed to understand what's happening around us, and it's the most subtle way we do it. And so people receive that broadcast and then behave accordingly. So a really good example of this is, you know, when a kid gets branded as something at school. So if suddenly they get the brand of the naughty child, it's very hard for that dynamic to break because the teachers expect it, and so the child acts it out, and it becomes a feedback loop. So one expectation feeds the other. And so some people would say that's the law of attraction and that's what he's choosing. But really, it's about a call and response out to other people's energies. It's like, this is how things are, and therefore treat me like this. And so there is a similarity with that whole idea, you know, and that's why when you change your perceptions and release some of this baggage, release these signals that are coming out from you, the world changes around you. And that's where it kind of has a similar ring to the law of attraction, because, you know, as you change, the world changes for you. It's what it feels like. But actually, it's just your signals are different, and so you get a different response.
Yes. When you mention broadcast messages, it's like, oh yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about, because I deal with broadcast messages a lot too with my clients. And like you said, it's the, you know, the energy that we're putting out there that other people are responding to, and you know, it's easier you putting out there who you are or what you want done to you, or, you know, or some other type of message that other people are picking up on, and it affects how they interact with us as well. So, yeah, so I understand that quite a bit, and I can see why that might be confused with the law of attraction, because it's not really law of attraction, but we are kind of putting out there, you know, how we want to be treated. So we're kind of getting back what we put out, you know. So yeah, so it's a very interesting phenomenon. Usually when I come across this, even with my clients, you know, and I'm trying to explain it to them, you know, I also use like a school kind of thing, but I use the one of you know, how, you know, if you're in school and you're being bullied, somebody puts a kick me sign on your back. And so you walk around with this kick me sign, and people keep kicking you. And you're like, why do people keep kicking me? Because you have that sign on the back, and people are seeing that sign, so they're doing it. You know, and sometimes it's malicious, sometimes it's not, you know, but that's what you're putting out there, so that's what you're getting back, you know. I see this a lot when people are feeling stuck, and, you know, and then they're like, well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. It's like, well, you're putting out there that you can't do it, so people aren't going to trust you to do it because you're putting out there that you can't do it. So that's kind of how your perception is altering your energy that's going out that other people are picking up on, whether they realize they're picking up on it or not. So that kind of, you know, sum up kind of what you're saying too?
Yeah, completely. That's a really eloquent way of putting it.
Well, I don't know about eloquent, but, you know, I always try to put things in terms that people can understand, because, you know, we can understand the deeper meaning of things and how things work internally, you know, and everything. But it's harder to help our clients and the general public understand those. So I spend a lot of time trying to learn how to explain things in a way that the average person can understand it. So, but thank you for the compliment on being eloquent. I don't find myself, well, see, there I go, I'm putting out there myself, you know. Thank you so much for that. See, I made a choice to change it. So I was just about to say, I don't think it's all that eloquent, but I stopped, I made a choice, I changed it. Perception. See, here we go, people. It's, you know, in action, work in action. Awesome. Which leads me into the next question. Can people choose their perceptions and emotions?
So, yeah, I think we've covered that to a point. There's definitely a level of agency there. Like, the initial response is usually a genuine just, okay, this is what's happening. You know, it's a quick freeze frame, and it's part of what we're designed to do, just sort of take in data and process it as fast as we can and respond from a gut reaction. And that's not something we'd ever want to get rid of, is, you know, sort of instincts, because they're designed to keep us safe. And there is a level of shifting that choice and saying, okay, what's this instinct based on? And, you know, are there things in my past that I could actually really do with letting go of, because that might have been true back then, but, you know, I'm not a child now, and therefore that doesn't make sense. Or, you know, there's so many different areas of the life, where, of our lives, where we can actually update our beliefs and perceptions. For me, that was one of the most powerful processes I went through. I kind of did it when I was in the jungle for 3 years, just sort of going through sort of the library of, you know, how did I see the world? What did I think about other people, about myself, about families, relationships, culture, even weird things like, you know, just sort of money, art, even just sort of deciding, like, how, seeing whose beliefs I had, you know, is this something I actually think, or is it something my dad told me to think, or my mom, or my sister, or my friends? And actually clearing out and finding out what I truly believed on certain topics was extremely liberating. And then there's another layer of it that can come up in terms of, okay, well, if I believe that, do I want to believe it anymore? Or would I like to believe something more wholesome instead? And if we've got time, I'd like to just quickly take you on a little thought experiment journey for a couple of minutes to really illustrate that.
Please do. Go ahead.
Okay. So if you just kind of sit quietly and close your eyes a moment and imagine that we live in a universe that is just chaos and there's nothing guiding us. There's no hope. We're completely alone. And really, we're just here on our own trying to make sense of it, but there's nothing really to be made sense of because it's all pointless. Just kind of breathe that in and just feel what it's like. And then breathe out and shake it off. And then reset. Close your eyes again. Take a breath. And now imagine that we live in a universe that is guided, that is connected, where there's a purpose that we may not understand, but there is a purpose behind everything and behind us. And we have love and unconditional support. And now take a breath and breathe that in. And see how that feels. And then exhale. And shake it off. How did each of those feel to you?
Well, the first one with the chaos and everything, it felt really tense, you know, and, you know, almost fearful. But, you know, tense is the best word that I can, you know, rigid. But the second one was almost like relaxing and my body loosened and my shoulders dropped. And it was almost like, you know, a deep breath, like,
mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I'm sure so everybody's going to feel something different, but that's the way I felt it.
Yes, I'm sure they will. And again, you were using words that were very physiologically based. You know, it was the tension and the relaxation.
Yeah.
They were a thought experiment that really affected your body, which is why the choice of your thoughts really affects your health. And, you know, that experiment I find a really interesting one to do because we don't know the answer for sure either way. Like we can, you know, it's basically a choice whether we decide one or the other, but which one makes you feel better? You know?
Right. Right. Okay, well then let's go into the next part here because this is the very interesting part. I know you're multimodality and you and I do some of the same modalities, but the one I like to talk to you about, I don't do that one myself, so I love bringing new tools and information on new modalities to the listeners. So I'm particularly interested in the Psyche K that you do. I know that is one of the methods you use in your practice to help shift perception for your clients. So can you explain a little bit more about Psyche K and how it can help people?
So Psyche K is one of my absolute favorite modalities. And the most basic description of it is that it allows you to consciously choose what's in your subconscious mind. And that process is guided by the superconscious or the higher self. So it's bringing all of those three things together. So if you imagine each of those as a horse, you know, your higher self is trying to take you one direction, your conscious mind maybe going the same way or somewhere else, and the subconscious is doing all the sabotage. Psyche is a way of actually choosing and being allowing yourself to be guided by your higher self, choosing what you want to believe and bringing that subconscious into alignment so all three horses pull you in the same direction and therefore make your life a lot easier.
Okay. All right. So let's expand on this just a little bit more because I find this very fascinating. Can you give me some examples of maybe of some of your clients that you've helped in shifting their perception and how that has turned into a benefit for them in some way? Would you like to share some of your stories?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to say a bit more about kind of what Psyche is on a deeper level first, if you think about sort of what the idea of affirmations was doing sort of 20 years ago, where basically you're saying the same thing over and over again, hoping to end up believing it. Psyche is a way of biohacking the system, so you insert that statement directly into the subconscious straight away and download it, so you don't have to keep repeating it. So it goes in on a belief level. So the most wonderful statement could be, I completely love and accept myself. And when you actually believe that, rather than just try and force yourself to believe it, it then opens doors. The other way Psyche can be used is to transform the way you perceive old events. So going back to kind of the dog analogy, so if you have a fear around dogs, the process of Psyche basically gets both hemispheres of the brain integrated, so you become whole brain. So normally when you're having a stress response, one side of the brain jams, and you either go hyper-rational or hyper-emotional. What the Psyche process does is it brings both sides of the brain back online together when thinking about certain situations. And so you have your whole capacity back, and it allows you to reprocess old events until you get to that place, which means that stressor no longer causes the perception of stress within you because you've actually processed it out and got rid of the old jam. And so that can be used for fears and phobias. So I have a friend who is claustrophobic and she hates going into small spaces. We took a ferry somewhere, and on the way there, she was so stressed out when I found out she was claustrophobic. It was a really tense journey. Luckily, it was only 40 minutes in this kind of cramped small boat to a little island. And it was pretty hellish. And so we stayed on this island for a couple of days. We did one Psyche process, which takes about 10 minutes. They're called balances because you're bringing your brain into balance. And on the way back, she didn't even think about getting onto the boat. It was, before there was a whole build-up, there was a whole, oh, God, what's it going to be like? And didn't even consider what it might be like on the boat. She just got on and sat there and then realized, oh, hey, I'm not having a reaction. This is cool. And that's how much of a shift it can be for somebody.
Awesome. Okay, so let's just switch gears here for a little bit because we have a few more minutes. So, sometimes I like to just kind of dig into a person's personal life. So bear with me. Mm-hmm. Tell me about being out in the jungle. I find that absolutely fascinating. Would you mind telling us a little bit about doing there, studying in with the plant medicines and such, and how that has been brought into what you do as a practitioner now?
I went to the Amazon back in 2015 for a personal healing journey. I booked on a 6-week retreat in order to have sort of a really long process. You know, I'd been in a really dark space up until then and just felt like I wanted to shift. You know, I tried a bunch of different healing modalities up to that point, and just nothing seemed to shift. A perpetual depression and, yeah, inability to kind of really get outside of my own brain in a that was very negative. And so I went there and went through this 6-week process, which was also, I'm going to call it a shaman school. It was, you know, a training camp for learning the Amazonian ways of serving ayahuasca, which is, you know, that hallucinatory brew. It's not a hallucinatory, it's psychedelic in a way. It's this very own unique brew, but you take it in ceremony with a shaman, and then a lot of healing occurs in that space. But there's also a whole medicine paradigm where during that ceremony, the shaman's actually getting prescriptions for the client, for the participants and the patients in the room, where they actually go into the jungle then and administer plants that for healing. And I just went through a massive, massive shift. You know, all of the stuff I'd been kind of peeling off in layers for many years kind of fell off from around me. And the shaman actually described it as like I had almost a cage around my aura, and he had been pulling away the bars of the cage, and it just felt like he removed a dam where all the, you know, like a floodgate where the stuff I'd been moving had kind of left my body a bit, but it was still stuck in my field. And so when he did this work, it just finally was able to flow away from me, and I went from very depressed to a kind of a spring chicken And I just fell in love with the process. And so I decided to stay and got a job at the center and was guiding people through those processes. And it was really an honoring and humbling experience, because people go there in very vulnerable states, you know, with really intense stories. And, you know, they're facing their fears in a very intense, difficult way. And they're going through these deep purges, you know, the physical cleansing, you know, not just from the ayahuasca, which is a purgative, but other medicines where you're constantly vomiting and releasing toxins from the system. You know, it's very, very intense. But also, you know, the Shipibo paradigm, which is the tribe I was working with, They also can see in ceremony, you know, the plants show them, again, the mind-body connection, you know, where the illness started and how it started. So that might be a thought seed that grows and grows and grows, and it almost takes on its own consciousness. You know, the energy of it will grow so strong that it then created an illness that physically showed up in the system. And so it really cemented my desire to then study more the mind-body connection and how prolonged mental states and emotional states can physiologically damage you eventually.
Wow. Wow. So would you have considered that as part of your, what we call the dark night of the soul, that was kind of your own transformation to what you are now?
Yeah, I mean, those 3 years were, you know, it's very cliche, but some of the toughest but most rewarding of my life. It definitely took me a while after that to really process and rebuild. And, you know, I'm fairly nomadic. I currently live in Mexico, but I visit the UK a lot, and I travel around a lot. And you know, I made a decision not to go back to a normal job after that, and learned Psyche and some other modalities and used those tools, you know, relentlessly to create the life that I wanted. And that's really where I'm at right now, is I've just, you know, been able to shift my internal landscape and release so much that now it's increased my powers of manifestation, which again, where it weirdly sounds like law of attraction, but really isn't. There's a lot of work involved, but but I've shifted myself to a point where it's like, no, I choose to live a pretty awesome life and successful. And so, yeah, I think it really was a dark night of the soul, and coming out the other side has, yeah, made me who I am today for sure.
Oh, great. You know, and as you were talking, I kind of caught myself smiling listening to you talk. So you're putting that energy out there, even through the waves of this fulfillment and everything. And again, mm-hmm. it's a perception. You're putting your perception out. I am reacting to that perception and what you're putting out. And my reaction to what you're putting out, your energy that you're putting out, is this huge smile on my face when listening to you talk about your healing journey and how, you know, you're doing what is fulfilling to you. And I think we all want to be able to do what is fulfilling to us in our lives, whatever that is. So thank you for sharing your journey and your work and your life with us. So we're coming to a close here. So is there, you know, any parting words that you would like to leave with the audience? You know, is there anything you would like to, you know, to offer if someone, you know, wants to learn more about what you're doing or possibly work with you, you know, that kind of thing? What would you like to leave us with today?
Really, the word, follow your joy. As much as you can, realize how much choice you have in your life. You know, sometimes we just hear those words so much, oh, I had no choice. Actually, when you stop and think, you have a lot more choice than you really allow yourself to kind of believe. And so pay attention to the choices you make on a daily basis and choose joy. Like, choose the things that light you up, because that will take you where you really need to go in life. And also know that there's people out there that can help. You know, like, I know you help loads of people, Michaela, and that, you know, we're connected to so many wonderful healers and therapists who can really help you just tweak the dials and just make those small changes that have such a big impact in your life. And so, yeah, have hope and follow your joy would be my parting words. In terms of, if you did want to reach out to me and find out more, I have a complimentary consultation on my website where we can chat for 20 minutes and see if we're a good fit to work together. My website is awakenedpotential.co.uk. Will it be added into a link somewhere, or should I spell it out?
Yes. I was going to say that at the end. So, yeah. All right.
Perfect.
So, yeah. No, that's great. So, that is it for today's show. Be sure to visit Sophia's website again at awakenedpotential.co.uk if you found what she was saying interesting and you wanted to explore things more. She does have, as you mentioned, a consultation that you can sign up for. You can find all of her links at livingnaturallyforlife.com/radio. It will be there in the profile for this show. And while you're there, please also check out all of my own resources, including affirmations, meditations, ebooks, and freebies, or sign up for my mailing list to have even more resources emailed to you each week. Or sign up for a consultation with me as well. You know, there are lots of healers out there. You know, we are not in competition with each other, because there is a healer for everyone. And if you find yourself in a place that you need some help, I encourage you to find someone that you resonate with and, you know, and work with them and see where you can shift your perspective and totally change your life. So thank you all for listening. And until next time, in health, this is Michaela Jones, MD, and you've been listening to Living Naturally with Michaela on News for the Soul Radio. Remember, health and wellness is a journey, not a destination. So live it abundantly. Bye for now.
Hi, thank you so much.
When you stay at a Vrbo, the host doesn't stay with you. Because a vacation home with a stranger sounds a little bit like a horror movie. only whole vacation homes. Always private. Book on the Vrbo app.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.